Dalet Adar Base, Thursday, the 6th of March, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Adela Yoda, the strangest of all mitzvahs.
So the famous Gemara in Gila, Zion on base, Omar Rabbah, Chai Vinish, Livasume, Bapuraya, Adela Yoda, in Orohom on the Baruch Mordechai. So, in as much as we say this might be the strangest of all mitzvahs, definitely in the yeshiva world, no one asks too many questions. It's one of the easiest mitzvahs to keep. When you think about it a little bit deeper, the chiyuv ad delayota bin orahor homon the Baruch Mordechai, and the gauge that is given ad delayota bin orahomon the Baruch Mordechai, it begs a question: what is this chiyuv to not know the difference between orahomon and Baruch Mordechai? Surely, the best way to celebrate a day of overcoming Haman would be to actually know Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And if we want to know how to live our lives, Kim v'Kiblu, if we want to know how to live our lives, it's that Mamash will say the Baruch Mordechai in our lives and the Or Haman. What would be the chiyuv to become shikar until someone doesn't know how to decipher between the Oror of Haman and the Baruch of Mordechai, where he's almost saying, Baruch Haman? That's question number one. Question number two, the famous Medrash in Yerushalmi, the Medrash is in Mishli Perek Tes, Chochem Usbon Sobeisa. Kol Amoyadim Asidim Libotel, V'Yimeyapurim Loi Betelim Lo'edom. From all the Moyadim, when Mashiach comes, from all the Moyadim, everything else is going to go. But Purim, that will remain. Now, although we might be very happy with that, again, what's the pshat? That Purim will remain. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah. Let's say, Af Yemai Kippurim Le'ivot Lo'ilom. Shnem V'hoi Sazayis Lachem L'chukas Olam. Let's say, no, no, don't worry, we've also got Yom Kippur. So we balance it out. You've got Purim, you've got Yom Kippur. It's okay. What's the pshat? And Yerushalmi also says, Shami Megillah. Af Megillah's Esther Valochis Ein Asin Levoto. And the Meister the Rambam and Hilchus Megillah Perik Beis Aloch Yudches also passed in Sazoi. Kol Sifin Avirim Cholak Suf Masid in Levoto Levois Hashiach Chutz Megillah's Esther. There's something messianic about Purim Megillah's Esther, that even though everything else will become bottle, Purim and Megillah's Esther won't. Maisa is brought down the Svarim HaKadoshim, and they bring it down from the Tikkun Zayin on Zayin on Beis, where he says, famous Chazal, that Yom Kippur and Purim are related. Kippurim, Kippurim. That Purim is Kariyas al Shem Yom HaKippurim. That Asidin le'isangabe. There's a close relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim, which when we first come across this Chazal, we can't think of two more diametrically opposed days than the day of Yom Kippur, when we're standing in shul, completely not engaged in this world, and the day of Purim, where it's complete engagement to the extent of where we are ad lo yada. So we have so far the Gemara Megillah Zayin on base, ad lo yada bin Aror Morach Baruch Mordechai. What's the pshat in that? We have the Meshalmi and Medrash that Purim and Megillah Sester will remain. We also have here, this which brought down, the Shlop brings down from the Svarim HaKadoshim, that Yom Kippur and Purim are related. So what's the pshat? Yom Kippur, Teshuvah, also has something very interesting about it. If you were to explain to someone who knew nothing about Yom Kippur, that it's a time of Kapara, what you would probably say is, it's a time to wipe your slate clean. That's the way You would think, you've done something wrong, can wipe off all the debt. But we know the Gemara in Yuma, Peivom Beis says, Rish Lakish says, G'dayla Teshuvah shezadoy nois nas esloy kesluyus. The Teshuvah can be so great that the very Zodoyin turns into Zchuyus. The very mistakes that we've made, the very Averus, come kesluyus. On Yom Kippur, it's also this strange thing. You're almost celebrating in retrospect, your mistakes. Because if not for those mistakes, you wouldn't have those tzchiyus. Yom Kippur has this paradox of instead of, if someone does teshuva properly, tshuv me'avo, it can be zoicha that his mamish, his mistakes, so to speak, the parallel could be the homon, can be a zchus. Surely it would be like someone who has to declare bankruptcy, and instead of saying, okay, we'll wipe off your debt, they're saying, all that debt, you had £500,000 of debt, now we'll give you that as credit. Mecha teisa. So that's question number four. And finally, a seemingly unrelated thing. There's a very interesting Gemara in Erev and Yudgimel on a base. Rabbi Mashmol, Sholi Sholim Nechleku Beisham Beis Hillel, Halalu Oimrim Halacha Kameisenu, Halalu Oim Halacha Kameisenu, Yosavaskov Amral, Elu Elu Divrele Kim Chaim. So Beisham and Beis Hillel, for many years, are arguing, each one saying that din is with them. But in the end, the Baskel comes out and says, Eilu Beilu Dibili Kechaim, Ava Halacha Kabeis Hillel. V'chimeyacha she'eilu Beilu Dibili Kimchaim, Epni ma'azocha Beis Hillel Likvay Halacha Kamoison. So why, if Eilu Beilu Dibili Kimchaim, asked the Gemara, why are we going with Beis Hillel? V'pnei she'noichim v'alubin hoyu. V'shonin divreim v'divri Beis Shammai. V'loi oid, ela shemakdimim divri Beis Shammai l'divreim. First of all, they were noichim v'alubin. They spoke in a pleasant way. But the second thing is, Shmakdimin Divri Beis Hillel Shammai L'Divrei. That when they would present their case, they would first say Beis Shammai, and then they would say Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai would get up and they'd say, this is what the din is. Beis Hillel would come and say, this is what Beis Shammai say, this is what Beis Hillel say. No. Oh, but if Eilu Beilu Divri Lekim Chaim, so, just because you're nice, therefore we go Halacha Kamoison. That you're Makdim, what's it help? It's a very nice thing that you did that, but if you're in court and the case is with you, then the fact that there's a lawyer who's got a nice smile, surely in a court of MS it wouldn't make a difference. He spoke pleasantly as he presented his case. It doesn't make a difference. The threat is, who's MS? So here we come to an idea of where actually Yiddishkeit and Western society come to a clash. The thing is, we become so accustomed to the way the Greeks, the Romans, and today the way the world thinks, that it's going to take a few minutes just to explain what this clash is. But the clash really is between Aristotelian logic and paradoxical logic. Aristotle taught the world three classic laws of thought. Aristotle's laws of thought was as follows. Number one, the law of identity. What is the law of identity? That A is A. Right? This is how we think, right? I think everyone in this room would agree that A is A, right? I am I. Is that a false statement? Second law, the law of contradiction. A is not non-A, which means that I am not you. Also quite simple. The third is the law of the excluded middle. A cannot be A and non-A. Neither A or non-A, which means I can't be you and me at the same time. Right? It is impossible for the same thing at the same time to belong and not to belong to the same thing in the same respect. This, then, is the most certain of all principles. It's Beferish Aristotle in Metaphysics 7. And this is the way that we think. I am I, and you are you. I am I, and you are you. I can't be me and you at the same time. So, Aristotelian logic has become the habit of the way we think and seems natural. However, let's talk about the other side. What's the other way of thinking? It's called paradoxical logic. Paradoxical logic means that things which are complete opposites are actually one. And the truth is, a lot of Israelis travel to India to hear from Buddhist teachings. A lot of Buddhist teachings are based on paradoxical logic. But we'll see whether maybe it came from somewhere else. Some of the writings in the East say as follows. Words that are strictly true seem to be paradoxical. Gravity is the root of lightness. Stillness is the ruler of movement. What does it mean, gravity is the root of lightness, stillness is the ruler of movement? Is what paradoxical logic is saying is that gravity actually needs lightness. And in order for lightness to be lightness, it needs gravity. For movement to really be movement, there needs to be something called still. And people love this. So they run from Israel to India. Whereas the Maisa, this is mamish one of the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. Rav Tzadok brings down from a Zohar in Parshas Tezria. Shlomo HaMelech says, in Keheles, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'ra'isi ani sheyesh yisroim l'chochma min asichlus. Shlomo HaMelech says, and I've seen, there's a yisroim l'chochma, there's something good about chochma min asichlus, and something foolish. King Shlomo, Melech, King Shlomo is saying something, it's unbelievable. He's saying something that we would never have. That chokhma is better, that wisdom is better than sichlus. What you need Shlomo HaMelech to say that. You need Shlomo HaMelech to come and say, Ra'isi ani. I'm looking now and I'm seeing. Sheish yisroim the chokhma min asichlus. So, here, this is where the Zohar brings down, and sort of brings it down, Parashat Tezria. But that's not what Shlomo HaMelech is saying at all. So Rav Shimon turns to Rav Abba and he asks this question. He says, what, we need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us this? So without going through the whole, we don't have time to go through the whole Zohar, this is how it comes out. He says, no. Rav Abba turns to him and he says, no, that's not what Shlomo HaMelech is trying to say. Rather, he's saying is, Yesh Yisroim L'Chochma Min HaSichlus, is from the Sichlus itself, Yesh Yisroim L'Chochma. What does that mean? Rabbi Yitzchak says, Moshe L'Mosuk B'ma, D'lo Yodat Inish Taimei D'Masika Ad D'Toyim Taimei D'Merira. It's the same as with sweet and sour. A person cannot define sweet as sweet unless he has sour. That means, if a child has never tasted something sweet, or if, for example, in our world there would be no such thing as sour, then sweet would cease to become sweet. and he says the same thing by Oyer and Choshech. Oyer would not be Oyer if not for the ability for Choshech. It's not the pshat, it's that, oh yeah, it's okay, look, what can we do? We've got Choshech. Choshech and Oyer are completely related. Because you can only define something as light because there's an opportunity for dark. If there's no opportunity for dark, there is no light. That's what paradoxical logic is saying. Paradoxical logic is saying that actually, in as much as we would say we'd love to live in a world of only light, actually, in order to be able to have light, you need to have that possibility of dark. There's a famous, very simple picture that I used to see as a child, I'm sure you've seen it, of the two faces and the cup in between, cup in the middle. Yeah, so some people put the black cup and the two white faces. Other people in the old days, it was racist, they used to put the two black faces and the white cup, whatever. So you've got the cup and you've got the two faces on either side. So that is a perfect analogy for Aristotle meets paradox. Because in Aristotelian world, you say, there's a cup. What, you need the two faces? All you need is the cup. Here we have a cup. It's black. And in fact, this black cup in the middle of this, in the middle of these two white faces would say, let the whole world be white. Or let the whole world be black. Why do we need these two white faces on the side? But actually, we understand that the very edges of this cup, the very reason why it's black is because there's something opposite on the side, because there's these white faces on the side. As soon as you take away the white face on the side, as we say, let the whole world be black, you take away that diversity, in fact, the cup ceases to exist. So Aristotle said, A is A, and not non-A. It can't be A and non-A. Whereas actually, when you look at the world with the Enoit Movadli lens, they actually understand that no, the black and the white are one. The Oyer and the Cheshach are one. In fact, one could even say like this, the Oyer is a greater Oyer because of the Cheshach. If I light a candle in this room, how bright does it light? But if it's dark and it's B'dikas Chomos night, then you light a candle, then it's amazing. So Shlomo HaMelech Yesh Yisroim L'Chochma Min HaSichlus, And this is also Gemara. When a person starts off, he should start off with a joke. Person starts off, what, just to get people's attention? No, because when a person has the backdrop of a joke, and then you say something chokhmah, then the chokhmah shines out. When Shlomo Melech is saying, sheish yisrei l'chokhmah nasichlus, he's saying that chokhmah, the real chokhmah understands that he needs a bit of sichlus in his life, in order that his chokhmah will shine. Now that doesn't mean that we should go chasing sichlus. What it means is, that yesh yisrei l'chokhmah min hasichlus itself. That is not Aristotle. Aristotle would have said, A is A, you want chokhmah, get rid of sichlus. So Shlomo Melech, no, yesh yisrei l'chokhmah min hasichlus. That is why this is mamash, the clash between Klal Yisrael, between Yaakov and Esau. You think about it. Christianity says that Kedusha is found by completely getting rid of any aspect of materialism. You go and live on the top of a mountain somewhere, that's Kedusha. Whereas Shabbos for us is the holiest day. That's mamash the holiest day. That's when we call up people, seven people, even holier than Yom Kippur. So Yom of Kedusha. And we're mamash told to have Oynag Shabbos. Me'en Oylem Haba. Because Kedusha, as one of my rabbis put it, Kedusha from a Torah perspective is not holiness with an H, but holiness with a W, wholesomeness. Right? And the idea is that you mamash, if you want to really know what our tachlis in this world is, it's not to abstain, but rather to elevate. That is what our clash between Aristotle and the Yidden, that is the clash between, we take a cup of wine on Kiddush on Friday night, all other religions call it the drink of the devil, and we take a cup of wine and we make Kiddush on it. Why? Because that is Kedusha. Kedusha is to take a cup of wine and elevate it. Not abstain from it, but know how to use it. So when we go to paradoxical logic, what we're saying is that the very fact that we have opponents, the very fact that we have Sainim, the very fact that we have someone who might disagree with us, actually entitles us to our opinion. In fact, if we couldn't be Boicher to our opinion, if we didn't have another option, then we actually would cease to exist. Let's go to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai came in, and they said, this is the halacha. They didn't represent Beis Hillel's case. They said, this is the halacha. Beis Hillel came in, and they said, this is Beis Shammai's din, but we hold differently. That's the Veloy Oid in the Gemara. It's Beis Shammai came in, but it wasn't with understanding the two faces. It wasn't presenting the two faces and then their cup. They just said, this is the cup. Whereas Beis Hillel, the Halacha Kamaisan, is because they were greater Korav to that, they were Yosef Korav to the Anis. That actually, without Beis Shammai, we don't have an opinion, says Beis Hillel. And they actually thanked Beis Shammai for Yesh Yisrael Nechochma Min Asichlus. They understood that they actually needed an opponent's opinion in order to be able to have an opinion. That's Yosef Korav to the Anis. Rav Hirsch says, in Parashat Achrayim, Perek Tezayin, that there's something very strange in Yom Kippur, that we bring a korban, we bring Sori LaHashem, and a Sori LaAzazel. Why would you bring a Sori LaAzazel? So Rav Hirsch says, that it's on Yom Kippur that we understand the Koyach HaEsnagdus, the Siruv, that it's only through the fact that we had these challenges, and that we could slip. It's only through the fact that there was a Satan and the Yetzer Hara in our life that we're able to come back and do teshuva, that we're able to live our lives with any tachlis. If you don't have a Yetzer Hara in your life, it's almost like playing a game without ever being able to get it wrong. Yesh Yisrei L'chochma Nasichlus is a day of Yom Kippur is a day when actually we go into that consciousness and we actually celebrate the fact that there's Nazazel. So what is the relationship? Let's go back to the questions. So here we have Gedayla Teshuva Shezadaynais Nasis Leikaschias. The Gemara in Yuma, Reish Lakish, says Gedayla Teshuva Shezadaynais Nasis Leikaschias. It would be Reish Lakish himself who would say that. Reish Lakish, who had that, his background of someone who is a complete bandit and turned his life around. Zot Reish Lakish Gedayla Teshuva Shezadaynais Nasis Leikaschias. Why? Because how great was Reish Lakish? Because he was a bandit. Not in spite of it. But because he was, if I tell you an inspiring story of someone who was a godly, who was born into his father was godly, his grandfather was a godly, very nice. But Rish Lakish is saying, the reason why we're so inspired by Rish Lakish is actually because of the fact that he came from there and he ended up here. It's his very mistakes that brought him closer. That's what Teshuvah is. On Yom Kippur is not Yom Kippur is the day when we have the kapara for the Eikel. Rav Shimshon Pinchas says that the happiest day in a couple's marriage, whenever I say this, I always get a bit of flack for it, but it's not me who's saying it, Rav Shimshon Pinchas says it. He says that the happiest day in a couple's marriage is not the day of their chasna. The happiest day in a couple's marriage is when they have an argument, but then they get back together again. Right? Because the fact that you get married, you never had argument, you've not tested the water. That's the b'mokum shevali tshuv noimdin in tzadikim yochinamit. You're a tzadik when you get married. You don't know whether you can slip. But then you slip and then you get back together, that's even stronger. Right? I heard once from Rabbi Tatz, he said that when he was in medical school, when they have a bone which it breaks, then you look at the x-ray, you can always see where if a person's had a broken bone. Because the place where it grows back is even stronger. There's a slight lump in the bone. You can see it's even stronger density of the bone in the place that it's broken. That's Gedolei Teshuvah. That actually the mistakes in our lives, if a person does Teshuvah Me'ava, he'll never go back to what he did again. Actually, the very Zodah in itself makes him stronger. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of where we bring a sorry la'azazel, of where we do Teshuvah Me'ava, and the very Zodonus Nasas Leikas. What's the pshat in Purim? That's Purim. Yom Kippurim, Purim, they seem so different in their field, but actually, they're coming to pretty much the same. And if you look closely, you see that Purim is on a higher level than Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur was still abstaining. It's almost a not natural experience and existence on Yom Kippur. On Purim, that's the ultimate. That's the highest. Rav Shimshon Pinchas brings down, that if you look at the year, it's a climb throughout the year. We start off with Pesach, you go on to Shavuos, can't see us with Mitzrayim. Purim is in the calendar of the year, that's the highest level. That's the level of not only Shabbos where you can take a cup of wine and make Kiddush on it. You can mamish get drunk. You can mamish engage in this world in the ultimate way. On Purim there's no restrictions. It's the opposite. On Purim we completely adela yoda. What's the pshat here in the Medrash? Brings us to the second question. Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, all the Yom Tov can be bottled, except for Purim, some people say also Yom Kippur. What's the pshat? According to what we're saying, it's mamash understandable. Because what Purim represents, what Mashiach represents, is one and the same. We live in a fragmented world. We live in a world where even amongst Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, there's so much machlekas. We live in a world of where there's me and there's you. We don't live in a world of Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. What's Mashiach? Mashiach is where there's a kibbutz golius and we understand the different rainbows and the different shittas, and even the idea of Achdus Hashem is when you understand that all the different things in our life had a place. Some are supposed to be the foreground like the cup, some are supposed to be the background like the white faces, but everything had a face, had a place. And you know what? Even the things that don't have a place, it was there for us to choose not to have them as a place. Mashiach is a time where we'll be able to look back at things like the Holocaust and be able to understand the Achdus Hashem and the Rotzon Hashem and something like that. To be able to understand the most terrible things in Klal Yisrael's history, the things which seemed like the greatest adversaries, and be able to understand the Enoid Movadoi, how that was also the Rotzon of Hashem. It's not only going to be about celebrating the good things in life. In fact, in this world we say, Baruch Dayna Emes. But when someone passes away, from Hashem's perspective, the Malachim say, Baruch HaToiv VaHaMeitiv. Baruch HaToiv, that which is good, VaHaMeitiv, and the bad, which also makes the good even better. That means the brokenness will become, make us even stronger. We'll understand how the Toiv and the Meitiv are really one. There isn't Dain HaEmes. We now in this world live in a world of Baruch Dain HaEmes. We don't understand it. But there's one day in the year when you can. And that is Purim. There's one day in the year where you can live on the Toiv and Meitiv, Baruch HaToiv VaHaMeitiv. And that is a day of where we have a Chiyuv, to Chayiv Inish Levesumim V'Pariah Ad Delo Yoda. And that is the reason, says the Medrash, and the Yerushalmi, why Purim and Megillas Esther will remain. Because what Megillas Esther teaches us is that actually Esther being taken by Ahasuerus, in retrospect, wasn't such a bad thing. It was actually the Hatzol of the Yehudim. And what Purim represents is that even the Haman, even the Or Haman, might have been a good thing. The Kimu V'Kiblu Me'Avo that the Yidden had on Purim would never have taken place if not for the Tabas of Haman. But all the Nevi'im tried to do, Haman managed to do with one signet ring. So now when we look back with 2020 vision, are we really going to say Or Haman? Does Or Haman mean more or less to us than Baruch Mordechai? With Aristotelian logic, yeah, there's Mordechai and there's Haman. Let's celebrate the Mordechai and be very clear that Haman has no place. But the day of Purim is the day when we can finally be mekabel the term me'avah, where there's a dinus nasas leikas, where the Yidden finally did teshuva me'avah, and they understood that all the brokenness in their lives was actually something that made them even stronger. That broken bone, when it was healed, made them even stronger. That's why in the Yemos HaMashiach, Purim will still remain. That is why on Purim we have this strange mitzvah almost not to know the difference between Adal Yodim and Or HaHaman Baruch Mordechai. Because all the challenges in our life actually have a purpose to build us and make us even a greater person. And I often think how Purim can sometimes be wasted. And people who don't realize what they're doing, they don't even chap what it is about. On the other hand, this idea is so dangerous, because if a person doesn't understand this, or understands this and takes this too far, it would almost be like the Shimshon says that the couple, their happiest day is when they get back together again after a fight. So the husband and wife are having a conversation after they've had this fight. They say, wow, look how close we are because of this fight. We should do this once a month. Right? So why is that? That is the Rambam which says that the person who can't have teshuva is the person who says Ech Deva Ashuv. What's the pshat Ech Deva Ashuv? Just stand. I'm gonna do a chet of the Ashuv. No, once he understands this concept, how close you can get to Rabbeinu Shlomo, that there's doing this Naskis Chiyus, he'll say Ech Deva Ashuv. Let me go and do a chet. Let's do this once a month for Ashuv. So why can't he have teshuva? The idea is because there's enough brokenness in our lives. There'll be enough chances to get back together again that you don't need to go looking for it. That's the secret. That's why Purim is never here, because we can't handle this every time. We can't go embracing this. There's been throughout history of Klal Yisrael, this was, you can go through from Adam, the people that understood this and then said, okay, fine, let's go and do it. David Bashar, they said, let's go into the Cheshech so the Ur will be even brighter. Yes, Yisrael Chachma Sichlus. Let's go and embrace the Sichlus and then we'll have even more Chachma. So that's what the lesson of Purim is. That you need to get drunk for it. In your normal lives, don't live out this reality in the sense of going into the Chochmah. But yes, you can live out the reality, living out the Sichlus. But yes, you can live out this reality in terms of embracing the challenges, embracing the Nisyonos, and saying, wow, Yish Yisroin L'Chochmah Min HaSichlus. Thank you.